ear at the door. You're about to enter a world of heavy lifting, power lifting, strongman, and everything in between. Think you're ready for this? Let's see, tough guy. It's time for the RX Power Hour with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome to the RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. Pleased to have Mr. Bracewell fresh from the Las Vegas desert. How are you, sir?
I don't know if fresh is the right word to use. I'm still all fucked up from that contest. I mean, not necessarily from the contest, from the whole weekend, just in general. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I'm good today, but yesterday and Sunday, I was pretty beat up from the contest. You know, first show in, we'll say 6 months or more. And first time really doing super heavy events all in the same day, you know, because even in my training, the events I split up to make sure I wasn't overworking my body. But so it put a beating on me pretty good. And then it was kind of funny. I didn't even realize it at the time, but the axle, which was the first event, was a locked axle, which for people who don't do strongman, you know, if you think of a normal barbell, like if you want to do power cleans with a barbell, well, the bar spins in your hand. Like you can hold the bar and turn it front to back, you know. Well, axles that are locked, they don't. So the bar itself will rotate and spin, but you have to put enough force on it so that you make the outer weight spin, like, for example, the tires. So think of it like a car axle. In order to make the axle itself turn, you have to make the tires turn. Well, the heavier the weight gets, the harder it is to turn it.
Gotcha.
So the first set that we had, it wasn't locked. Well, they locked them, and I didn't know they locked them. So when I went to go,
we do
the Continental, which is basically you pop it up to your stomach, like about sternum level. Mm-hmm. And then from there, usually you pop it a second time, and that's when you spin it. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's unlocked, you basically just spin it in your hands like a regular barbell because it will spin pretty easily. Well, when it's locked, it doesn't do that quite as well. You almost have to pop it up higher and then rotate your hands individually underneath it. You know, if you're really practicing that technique, like guys for the Arnold Strongman, they practice that. So they're used to it. Well, I wasn't used to it. I didn't know it was going to be a locked axle. So literally when I go to spin it, it comes out of my hands. I mean, I still held it, but I mean, like, my grip came loose.
Brutal.
And literally hits me right in the top of the chest. And it hit me so hard that I actually have a bruise on, you know, right at the top of my chest bone. And it's kind of weird because the bruise actually bleeds, like where the pores are. Like, I guess it scraped me in, or I don't know. I've never had that happen before, so it's kind of weird. I'm not complaining about it. It's just like an odd deal because out of all the time I've done axles, and I've done locked axles before, I've never had that happen. So I actually, like, after I shower, because this bruise, like, bleeds, I have to, like, put a Band-Aid on it so I don't bleed through my shirt like the, you know, 40-year-old virgin after he gets waxed or something.
So yeah, I wonder if people will make a trek from, like, thousands of miles away. Like, maybe this is a sign. Maybe this is a religious event.
Oh, yeah.
where your pores are weeping, kind of like when they see, like, a face in a burrito or something.
Yeah, my pores are weeping. Yeah, sure. Oh man. But yeah, it was an interesting weekend. Unfortunately, I am not the winner of that contest, and we're not going to interview me on how well I did or how great it was to win. Kind of a, when you count the travel mishaps and the contest itself, it was kind of a sucky weekend. So it's one of those ones I'm just going to have to put behind me and just move on.
Mm-hmm. Which the good thing is, the way that your kind of competitive season is lined up, you've got another one coming here very shortly. So it's nice to get right back in another training pattern and off you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that I've talked to a couple people about it. And, you know, overall, I'm fairly happy with my performance, meaning what I actually did in the contest. I am not very happy with the placings I got. Not so worried about my overall placing, you know, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to talk about this event and talk about how I did without making it sounding like I'm complaining or making excuses, because I'm not. There's no excuse for anything I did. I did just about everything I think I could have done. You know, I had no stupid mistakes, no drops or anything like that. But like my overall placing is not in, what's the correct word, indicative of how I actually did, because by the time
you were right there at the top the entire damn contest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and not necessarily in first or anything. I don't think I was ever in first, but the, you know, I was in second, third, or fourth. I think, you know, most of the show, just depending on the event. I started off on the lower end because Axel's was probably my worst event of the day, but and built my way up. Well, by the time I actually did the last event, the Stone Over Bar, there was literally no point in me putting in a whole lot of effort because I knew I couldn't place top two. And I didn't even realize there was money available for people outside of top two. So I just kind of said, whatever. I went out and I did two reps. I didn't want to be the guy that's like, oh, well, I'm not going to even bother and not do it. Right. You know, that's kind of bullshit. But I wasn't going to go out there and try to kill myself when I'm already dead tired anyway. So I did a couple reps with the lighter stone and called it a day. Well, because I didn't try that hard on the last event, it kind of dropped me down quite a few, I think, two spots. So, oh, well, you know, it is what it is. But the contest was a lot of fun. You know, for people who, there's not a lot of results out there, so we'll kind of cover a little bit of this. The Axel was the first event, and when we, the contest itself got pushed back 3 hours, which kind of sucked because we're all getting there early. We were supposed to start at 3. I think we ended up starting around 5:36, probably closer to 5. And it was 98 degrees when we started. So despite the fact that it sucked that we started late, it did have a benefit to it because by the time it was over, you know, halfway through the contest, it was night, you know, it was the nightfall. So the temperature dropped down to about 80, which, you know, so every negative that I would have to say about the contest, there's a plus to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it has its pluses and minuses. But anyways, on the Axel, Jerry Pritchett, who used to be a bad overhead presser, surprised the hell out of me and I think Matt Dawson, because Dawson was coming into this contest expecting to easily win the overhead press.
Sure, that's his thing. Right.
Yeah, that's his deal. He set the amateur record when he was an amateur. Mm-hmm. He does really well as a pro.
Yep.
Well, Pritchett took him all the way up to the very end and ended up tying him for first in that event. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, they both finished at 4:15. And both missed 4:25. So, I mean, I was just amazed because up until about 4:15, 4:25, Pritchett was making every single press look easy. I mean, and the cleans look easy. 4:05 looked like no problem for him. So, I mean, that's awesome that he's been able to make that kind of progress on his overhead. Because I remember when you saw the contest in Dallas when I was still competing as an amateur, right, he couldn't even finish the medley, which a medley, you know, for people who aren't completely aware, is lighter implements, but you have many of them instead of something that's like a heavy max. So it was really cool that he did that. Chad Smith was doing his second or third strongman competition. Who, folks who don't follow powerlifting won't know him, but Chad Smith is very well known in the powerlifting world. He writes stuff for Elite Fitness, Elite FTS technically. He also has an ebook called Juggernaut. So some people might know him, might not know who he is, but know the ebook. So, but anyways, he came out, he had perfect push jerk form, in my opinion, which is crazy because he's a power lifter. I've never seen a power lifter with that good an overhead press. And I think he finished with 385. I lost out at 385. So my best was 365. Then after that, we did the yoke and farmer's medley, which, again, there is a negative there. We got zero warm-ups. So we got to go from doing an overhead press to doing a 930-pound yoke with no warm-ups of any kind.
Yikes.
Now, that being said, there is a perk to it. Like I said, every negative had a perk. When it was all said and done, every negative had a perk. And that is because we were all so dead by the end of this contest. I think every bit of energy that we saved by not getting any warm-ups on like anything probably helped us in the long run. You know what I mean? So there were only three of us that finished the medley, which was a 930 yoke for roughly 75 feet. It was 25 meters. And then 380-pound farmers once they added the clips and all that stuff on. Myself and James Rude are the only people that finished it without drops, and Jerry Pritchett finished with one drop on the farmer. So The farmers were easy to pick, but man, those handles were hard to get a hold of. Like, I was literally holding it in the ends of my fingers on my right hand by the time I was crossing the line. Like, it fell out of my hand as I was crossing the line because they were pretty slick. So it made a made for an interesting thing. And then after that, we did the car, not car deadlift, the motorcycle deadlift, which was really cool. It was kind of an apparatus where it almost looked like a platform. Right. And they, you know, they obviously had a motorcycle right there in the middle. And each time they added a girl or they moved a girl up. So, you know, starting off, they had the girl on the motorcycle. Then they had a girl next to her. Then they had another girl next to her. Then, you know, they'd move the girls towards the front of the platform and add another girl in the back.
Yeah, I've actually seen pictures of that particular event with you that someone had posted on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, that was Sand Pig from RX Muscles.
Gotcha, that's who he is, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I met him, very cool guy, very nice, you know, seemed to really enjoy seeing the show, so it was good to meet him, and I, you know, appreciate all the pictures he posted, because he actually got some really good pictures of me, so
really
my wife was happy about that. And I was really surprised, honestly, I thought I was going to win that event, because when we were warming up, I was hitting the reps, like the singles, faster than anybody that was going, like the lower weights, like the 600-700 pound weights. I mean, I was lifting the weight up so fast, even the girls on the platform were commenting on how, you know, they're like, oh my God, like kind of like I was jerking them around, you know.
Cool.
But then I guess I just kind of hit my wall and tied for second with Dawson on that event, and Jerry Pritchett won that event, which he's a good puller. I mean, we've talked about it before. He's set records in powerlifting before with his deadlift. And Dawson just recently got his deadlift up as well. He's pulled 800 and just a belt before in a in competition. So, I mean, both of those guys are good pullers. It's not like I, you know, missed out and got beat by guys who can't pull as much as me. So they're right. Definitely up there with myself. Then we had the arm over arm, which was not nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. You know, we had talked about this before.
Right.
And I'm thinking this is going to be like the most brutal event of the entire contest. And it was difficult cardio wise because, you know, you never realize how far 75 feet is until you're doing an arm over arm pulling a motorcycle with a chick on the motorcycle. Right. And it seems like you just can't get to the finish line. You're just constantly pulling and pulling and pulling. And, it actually pulled really easy, but I found that by the time I got close to the end, my hands were on fire, like rope burn type feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not nice. I think I ended up with third on that event. The two guys that got first and second were both like 6'6". And so I think, I'm guessing, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with that particular event, but I'm just guessing it's one of those ones where height definitely helps you out because you have the longer arms to get further down the rope. You also have the typically a taller torso. So when you lean back and then you're pulling your arms at the same time, you get more foot, you know, feet of pull per pull, if that makes sense.
Right.
Trying to think after that. That's so nice. And I have an Ask Nate question for my own personal experience from this contest. But about that time, I know all of us started feeling the fatigue kind of started setting in. You know, we were all starting to really feel the heat from the earlier in the day. Because like I said, we had been out there for 2 hours before the contest even started. And then, you know, we're getting tired. These events, especially the longer events, are not easy. You know, it's most NAS and ASC events, you're going 50 feet. Well, you take the exact same weight you're doing, add another, you know, do it 1.5 times the normal distance. Right. That makes it kind of tough. So after that, we had the tire flip and keg carry, which was effing brutal. And I think everyone felt that was the most brutal event there. The tire flipped pretty easily. But like I said, you know, 75 feet is a long distance to flip a tire, or it feels like a long distance. You're just kind of going and you're like, okay, am I done yet? You know, am I getting towards the end? And his 330 keg was brutal. Very brutal. And I know I'm kind of rambling now and getting towards the end of the contest, but I don't think but three people maybe finished that that event. Myself, I almost died at the very end. Like I got to maybe 5 feet from the finish line and had to basically stop and regrip and then go again because there was no drops allowed on the keg. If you dropped it, you were done. And you know, I mean, you don't know because I know you're not out there trying to do keg carries, but when you're trying to carry a heavy keg and your body is just screaming at you, it is very hard not to just drop it on the ground and say, I need a break and I'll repick it, you know? And by that time, everybody was dead. Like, I literally thought I might die after that event. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't drink. I couldn't do... I thought about laying down, but I was like, I don't know if I can breathe if I lay down. So I'm trying to hold myself up on a tree, you know, trying not to puke. And that was just a brutal event. I mean, keg carries hard by itself. You add in the tire flip before. It really was... I guess the easiest way to say it was a mind fuck, because after that, I don't think anybody wanted to do anything.
Well, I can definitely tell something was up because, you know, as customary, I always hear from you like after each event and things like that. And as we hit the last couple events of the day, it went all silent. And I was like, something brutal is going on. You're just trying to keep it together.
Yeah, I wasn't texting my wife. I wasn't texting anybody. I was, especially after that event, I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want you to talk to me. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to try to recover as much as possible before the last event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was trying to put myself together as much as I could because my goal was to do the heavy stone. I didn't realize this at the time, but they did the stone over bar like the Arnold. They had a 420 stone, which is 22 inches, which, you know, you've seen me try to do my 400-pound 22-inch stone. I mean, it's just massive.
Right.
Massive. It's very hard to grip it. It's very hard to hold on to it. And pretty much all the guys in the top five tried it. All of us failed except for James Rudd. And once he got it, that locked him into second place, and it locked me and Dawson out because since we couldn't get the big stone, it didn't matter if we did 10 reps with the small stone, it wouldn't beat his reps with the 420. So, you know, I think Dawson was still fighting for positioning because he did seem to put a little bit more effort into his stone, but I guess he realized there was money on the line. I didn't. I really didn't have a clue that there was any money. Now, granted, if I had gone up one space, it was $200. At that point, the way I felt, I really didn't care.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
Know, I'm not trying to complain. I'm not trying to make it sound like make any excuse of any kind. It's just that's the way it was. So it was an interesting contest. It was run well. Callie and Nick did a great job. I can't believe Nick didn't pass out because he was out there, I think, around 9 or 10 in the morning. And he was literally outside the entire time, the entire day until 9 o'clock at night, you know, for 12 hours, enduring the 98 degree heat all day. And every time I saw him, he just got redder and redder. And I'm just like, oh my God, he might die. Not because he didn't look healthy, just because of the sun just beating, you know, the heat exhaustion, the sunburn. And it was nuts. I don't know how he made it, but, you know, I guess you do.
You know, right now everybody's thinking, now, wait a minute. Don't you guys live in Texas? Isn't it hot in Texas?
It is hot in Texas, but I'll tell you
but not yet. Yeah, we get used to it gradually.
Yeah, it does kind of gradually set in here, but it was a different kind of heat. There wasn't very much wind. There was zero cloud cover at all, you know, and so it was just beat down sun, you know, like desert sun, like you would think.
Sure.
And the weird thing, especially coming from Texas, that I noticed is it was actually kind of hard to breathe because it was so dry. Every time I would go to take in like a deep breath, especially when I'm winded, it's like I almost had to start coughing because I get that burning sensation in the back of my throat, in my upper chest, because, you know, I'm so used to that kind of humid air, which is makes it easier to breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of feeling that. Like even today on my way driving home before we did the show, I'm taking a deep breath and I'm like, oh my God, it's like I feel like I need to start coughing every time I breathe in because my body's still readjusting.
Well, and a lot of times too, you know, that type of high desert heat, you know, because it's so dry, it's very moisture robbing. So it's very, very easy to contribute to dehydration, you know, amongst other factors. But
yeah,
especially when you're used to having, like you said, that very humid, moist air that we have down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, why don't we take our commercial break? And when we come back, I have a personal Ask Nate question that regards to this this contest, you know, something I experienced here. And then I also have another one that was, it's an anonymous, you know, email one. And then we'll also cover the upcoming Platinum Plus that's this weekend in Orlando, kind of cover some of the guys that we know will be there, and, you know, and then we'll see how that goes. So till then, this is Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton on RX Power Hour, hosted on RxMuscle.com. See you after the break.
Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to Myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour on RxMuscle.com with your hosts Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. Back with Ryan. I believe Ryan wants to do an Ask Nathan segment, so we'll go ahead and turn it over to the big man.
Yeah. So the one that regards to my personal experience is this. Mm-hmm. So we have a protocol as far as, you know, event foods and what I'm supposed to be eating in between events. I don't know if you want me to specifically say what they are, but I will say that they're, yeah, it's not a sandwich. Yeah. They are dry foods. It's not like oranges and stuff like that, which I know some guys like to do. And this specific contest, you know, we've been, because of the way my diet is, we always do liquid carbs like Carblend and stuff like that during my workout. So we went ahead and threw that into the contest as well. So I noticed as each event went on, I had less and less ability to eat my snack food things. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what's going on? And I usually have trouble eating the day of a contest, just nerves and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first event, I had my thing, and everything was fine. Second event, I had my snack, and it's different snacks, so people are, just so you're aware. I had my thing, and I was starting to kind of get, okay, you know, this is not doing well. Like, it doesn't seem like it's settling well in my mm-hmm. stomach. Like, I'm kind of getting worried that if I do the full amount that I'm supposed to, I'm going to end up hurling everywhere. Mm-hmm. After the third event, I literally got down probably a quarter of what I'm supposed to have down. And so I'm like, okay, well, I got to do something. So I try to start drinking more of the Carbolin, you know, to mm-hmm. at least get some carbs back into my system. Well, I guess because of the thickness of the Carbolin, even that was to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to hurl. Like every time I try to drink it, you know, it's like somebody who has a real bad gag reflex. And every time they brush their teeth, they feel like they're going to throw up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need something. I got to hydrate myself because I'm feeling super dry mouth. So I'm just, we have these like beer pitchers full of water and I'm just guzzling this water, you know, but getting as much as I think is appropriate in between each event to stay hydrated. But I find that no matter how much I drank water-wise, I constantly felt worse and worse after each event. And when I say worse and worse, I mean I'm really dry mouth to the point where I can't eat anything. I can't get anything in my mouth because obviously we don't have saliva. You have no lubrication, you know, to dissolve the food and start, you know, sliding it down your throat. And obviously, because I can't do this, my energy levels are going down. So I'm just kind of curious, do you think this is just a thing of nerves? Like maybe because I'm working out, it's that? Or is it just that I'm dehydrated and that's why I can't get any saliva going? I mean, is there any kind of, I guess, medical reason for this? Or in your opinion, something with the way we do our diet that my body's just not responding well with those foods? I mean, I don't know how to explain it really, but basically, why did my body want to reject everything like that is right. Where I'm going.
Well, we've done that same protocol with you as far as the intra-food type deal.
Same foods
God, all for years. I mean, that part really hasn't changed, and you never have an issue. And for those folks thinking out there, you know, jokingly talking about food or sandwiches or whatever, you know, it's never anything like that. And for the very reasons that Ryan mentioned, it's always very, very light type of food things, something that doesn't sit in the stomach for the very reasons. I mean, just due to the events and the things going on, it doesn't bode well for that. So basically, that was the same. The only new thing on that was the Carbolin as far as during this contest. And with the Carbolin, you know, it is so efficient at pulling things into the muscles, which is why it's used for your workouts and your training. But combined with, you know, the dry desert heat from Las Vegas, which again is moisture robbing, so that'll contribute to dehydration. But it's almost like if I had to second guess myself on that, I would say that, you know, basically including another form of carbohydrate to complement the Carbolin so that it wasn't so dependent. You know, it's so efficient at pulling everything into the muscles. It's like if you've ever, you know, bodybuilders and stuff listening, you know, if you've ever used glycerol or glycerin, you know, to kind of assist in a load, it has that same type of a thing. Same thing goes actually if you've used insulin. You know, insulin, you know, when you use that, it's so efficient at pulling everything into the muscles, be it glycogen and water, you know, because water and glycogen are magnets to one another when it comes to pulling into the muscle cells. It's the same kind of thing. You can get that dry, cottony mouth kind of thing because you've basically cleared so much water from your system because it's actually pulled into the muscles. It's just not as accessible as it normally is. Now, the good thing to that is, you know, your joints and your muscles are certainly more voluminous, if you will. And for you guys, that serves as protection. But for that type of a thing, for the dehydration, you know, basically you have to almost overcompensate, which becomes a fine line because you guys can't be running around, you know, with water sloshing in your stomachs either.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, as far as my own experience, the one thing that is definitely different is this was an outside contest where my mm-hmm. body is definitely used to inside contests because almost right. all the Platinum Pluses, almost all of the pro contests, I think all of the pro contests have been inside. Mm-hmm. I think the only contests I've done in the past 3 years that were outside other than this one were nationals, you know, because mm-hmm. nationals are usually held outside because of the number of people. So maybe the heat has something to do with it. And even on the inside contests, I do sometimes have issues, the same issue getting those foods in just because same dry mouth, but it was definitely worse this time. And I was kind of thinking it might have been a nervous system issue because, I mean, I felt pretty fried after some of these events, you know, like my body just, you know, because I haven't been competing and I could tell Dawson kind of felt the same way and even Pritchett at times. I think everybody was, just to be honest. I mean, on the stone, Pritchett and Dawson both cramped up while they were trying to do the 420. Dawson literally left the platform and laid on the ground doing like a back bend kind of thing, trying to stretch his abdomen. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know.
Creatine and things like that, of course, can also contribute to stuff like that. That's why that's always a big deal as far as the, you know, staying hydrated. But, you know, we also, in your protocol, including something different this time, over the counter, of course, but and that thing is extremely efficient at carbohydrate loading as well. And again, where the carbs go, the water is going to follow. So when you have an extremely efficient carbohydrate source, plus that boosting things as well, to a degree, probably overdid it on that end. Because again, there's just no way to get enough water in you to compensate for that without you going to hurl that out as well.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too that I noticed is, you know, like I said, those guys were cramping. I had zero cramps. Now, granted, I don't think I ever cramp, really. I mean, I've never had a Charlie horse. Occasionally, I'll get a hamstring cramp. Like, I'll be sitting at dinner after a hard strongman workout or something. Like, say I did a bunch of stones or something, and I'll be sitting at dinner. Next thing you know, I'm having to jump up from the table because my hamstrings, you know, my right hamstring or something will cramp up real quick. But other than that, which that might happen once a year, I never cramp. So I would assume my body was hydrated, but like you're saying, maybe it was just in the wrong places. You know, it's all in the muscles, but it's not in my mouth and in my organs and whatever, where I probably need it more at that time. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah, interesting stuff. And then I have an anonymous one. The person's first name is Mike. We'll just say that, but we don't have any other information that we can release. Okay. But this person is a power lifter, and he sent me an email about a drug protocol that he's going to use. Now, he didn't get specific. He was basically just saying, you know, I'm planning to do these three compounds. He didn't necessarily say length or dosage, so you can kind of just infer and, you know, you can tell what you think as far as how long it might should be or whatever. But basically, he's planning to run trinacetate, Anadrol, and D-ball together. Mm-hmm. And we're just wondering, he's wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on these compounds regarding strength boost or and possible, you know, side effects, things like that, by having those compounds together.
Did he mention if he's doing tests, or is he just going to do the Tren and the Anadrol and the D-ball?
I don't have the PM anymore. I don't think he's running tests with it. I want to say he's just running those by themselves. But well, I could be mistaken.
Okay. Well, even if he wasn't planning on that, I mean, you know, my opinion on that would be the test should be at the base of everything. I don't care what it is. You know, there are some exceptions in bodybuilding. It gets a little bit different. Like when I do contest prep, the closer it gets in, you know, I'm not a big fan of, I know a lot of guys like to do test prop and things like that. But with me, I just, even though it's faster acting, I think just relying on some of the different compounds tends to be more reliable. Yeah. But
I can tell you this. I know that he, in his email, because he, like I said, it was kind of a long email, so I don't have, and I deleted it, so I don't have all the stuff. I know he said he was taking tests. I don't know if he plans to continue that underneath, you know, as a base underneath these things, or if that's going to come out and the others will come in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can take that with how you will.
But in regards to running the Tren and the Anadrol together, I'll kind of separate the D-ball for a second. The Tren and the Anadrol I like. That's something that I tend to be fond of when designing things for different guys or making recommendations. I have certainly no proof on that because, you know, it's not like due to the galley issues of everything, it's not like there's studies being conducted every day that you can cite from universities as far as what goes on with receptors between Tren and Anadrol and things like that. But I, from what I've seen, either on myself or with other guys that I've worked with, is that they seem to complement the receptors when one starts to bog down, it seems, and the other one comes in, it seems to stimulate it. And by that, what I mean is a lot of guys in the past have tried to use Anadrol to kickstart cycles and things like that.
Yeah.
But then what you're going to get out of Anadrol, you basically get over the first couple of weeks when it comes to the weight gain and the rapid water bloat and stuff like that. The strength gains kind of continue to build up for a little while, but definitely most of the bang for the buck tends to be at the beginning. Well, it's, from what my experiences are, trend seems to re-stimulate that, so that if you pull the Anadrol back out and you put trend in, it seems to kind of pick up where the Anadrol left off, so to speak, almost like gives it a second life. And then the same thing, when the trend starts to bog the system down, you can almost switch back out and throw the Anadrol back in. So they seem to complement the receptors well back and forth on one another. And it also enables you to not have to run either compound very long, because you're basically getting out at max benefit time and then you're putting in the other compound before things start to bog down, or you're just really not getting much out of it anymore. So those are two that I actually like when they're paired together. But I typically always like a test base in there as well for guys. I'm not too big on trend not having tests to fall back on. And regarding running Anadrol and D-ball together, that's, you know, that's been done a lot here or there. I don't necessarily think it's necessary. I'm kind of a big believer you could just take more Anadrol and equal out what you're going to get out of the Anadrol and the D-ball, or you could go the other route and just take more D-ball and get what you would get out of sticking Anadrol in with it. But, you know, that's kind of up to each guy's preference or experience.
Now, like I said, this guy's a power lifter, so he doesn't have to deal with the same things that strongmen deal with. But that sounds like it would be a horrible combination for a strongman. And for the reason, I guess, thinking is blood pressure, for one, which, you know, you have to worry about blood pressure being a power lifter, too. But power lifters have one momentary spike, meaning they're doing the lift, it spikes supremely high, which can be dangerous. They're done with the lift, it goes back down. Whereas someone like a strongman, like take what we did this weekend, and you have the tire flip and keg carry, it's like you have blood pressure steadily rising and rising and rising, and you start getting to that max zone, you know, when you're trying to finish that event. It's like that seems, even taking out the cardio effects of the trend, that seems like a horrible combination if a strongman were to do that. In my mind, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know any guys who do that, so I couldn't tell you, but it seems like it wouldn't be a good idea.
If they're kind of doing one or the other, doing that rotation, you know, a couple of weeks of the Anadrol, then a couple of weeks of the trend, a couple of weeks of Anadrol, a couple of weeks of trend, you know, kind of back and forth. If the diet is right and the sodium intake is low enough, a lot of that can kind of be combated. Now, of course, everybody has different genetic tendencies when it comes to blood pressure, but a lot of that can be pretty well controlled through the diet handling that. And of course, you know, other guys will use, you know, diuretics or stuff like that to try to combat the blood pressure sides from the bloat. But it with powerlifting, I have a lot of experience running those with the powerlifters. And as long as the diet's right, I mean, I haven't had one guy have so much as even a nosebleed with that type of a thing. But again, I'm not getting into specifics on the amounts and stuff like that either. So nobody like wake up tomorrow morning and decide to start trying that, because the amounts are very specific as far as what's enough and what's too much.
And what's dangerous, yeah. That's the thing I never understood. It's like I see all these guys. Now, I've had a moment where I blew my face out. You know, like I blew out my eyes. I think you remember that probably 3 years ago.
You sure did.
And that was not drug related or anything like that. That was the first time when I started bulking. And this is the reason I actually started working with Nathan, and I decided to bulk the old fashioned way, which meant, you know, more McDonald's and more weight gainers, which I don't see a problem with weight gainers, but take in the increased weight rapidly, you know, cause I think I gained 25 pounds in 4 months, maybe, give or take, something like that. And my blood pressure went through the roof. I mean, I think when we started talking, my blood pressure was 160 over 90 when I was sitting at my store, you know, doing nothing.
Doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the result of that was me doing squats with one of my buddies and waking up the next morning and every single bit of the white in my eyes, both eyes, was red, blood red. Like I, and unfortunately I had to go to work like that. And I, you know, owning a store where you're trying to deal with customers, I spent the next 4 weeks telling every customer that came into my store that I'm okay and I'm not dying. And you know what I mean? Trying to basically repeating my story of how this happened for, you know, 1,000 people, which was not exactly fun. But you know, other than that one time, I've never had an issue. You know, maybe an occasional I'll blow one little dot, you know what I mean? Which I guess my doctor even said I just have weak eye capillaries, but it's not because my blood pressure is too high on a normal basis. It just happens. Sometimes you push yourself to the limit, but I've never had a nosebleed. I've never had my mouth bleed or anything like that. Like I've seen guys just start bleeding from weird places and I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. It's like, what is going on with your health? And how is this that important to you? Because you look like you're going to die.
well, and that touches another subject. You know, something that, you know, I'm big on is guys donating. You know, I'll harp to guys a lot about that because a lot of these drugs, people don't understand. Like, yeah, Anadrol makes you hella strong. You know, but at the same time, you know, that's an anemia drug. You know, that's designed for anemia. It's designed to produce a lot of red blood cells. Well, red blood cells, you know, if you have an overabundance of those, you know, your hematocrit and hemoglobin levels and everything goes through the roof. And of course, your blood pressure is going to go through the roof too. The easiest way to combat that overproduction of basically things that you don't need is obviously to donate, to try to keep your blood pressure down. And a lot of guys are either paranoid about that or I don't know what the hell the reason is, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't understand why you can shove a needle in your ass, but you can't donate blood without getting squeamish. So
I know, you know, I've donated blood here and there since I was probably 21, you know, before I got into strongman and all that stuff. And the one thing I actually noticed is, and I've always had like they call it, I guess you call it heavy blood, you know, where like they prick your finger and that shit just drops like a rock because your iron's so high. Yeah. Cause I've always been a big meat eater and things like that, but I actually feel better for the rest of like the next day afterwards. It's almost like I feel lighter, you know what I mean? And it's probably because I have thick blood and you know, with the things that go on in our sport, that probably doesn't help that. But I mean, I've had that since I was young, you know, when I was just, you know, a regular guy, you know, 230 pounds. Man, that was a long time ago. So, I mean, I always tell guys, you know, whether they're natural or not, I'm like, you know what, once a year, you need to go get blood. It's, you know, you lift weights, you eat a lot of red meat, things like that. You know, those, some of the things we do, whether you're natural or not, they build more red blood cells, which can be a good thing, but over time, it might not be a good thing.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely something that guys don't put any kind of value in, and they should. I mean, it's such a very simple thing to do. Well, it's funny, you know, people PM me this stuff or you or whatever all the time. You know, everybody always wants to know this side of contest prep, be it, you know, regardless of the sport. Yeah. And to me, you know that whenever you and I talk about this, I tell you I find it the most boring. I just can't understand why people find it so fascinating. To me, the food stuff is a lot more interesting because, you know, the way I view things and design everything is the food is the catalyst for the gear. I mean, you can take all the gear in the world. If you sit on the couch and you know, just eat Pop-Tarts, you're not going to get anything out of it, you know. Yeah. But you can take minimal gear and dial in the diet right to get the most benefits and to combat the sides the most, you know, and the results are through the roof. So I'm always far more interested in the food aspect of things, but people are always more interested in the gear.
Well, and I think it gets boring to you as the people who are interested about it are the people that are still trying to learn. I think the people who get bored by the talk at times are the people who realize, you know, that there are some tricks of the trade and there are some intricacies of those things, just like with anything in life. There's the fine details that you don't, that takes years of doing something or reading or learn, you know, learning about something to really get the whole package or picture, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's kind of simple. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the basics. It's like I tell people with supplements, it's the basics that work. People are always like, oh, well, I want to take, Masteron and eat and, Primabol and all these things. It's like, why? It's like, why waste your money? Why are you going to do all this? It's like, you're a nobody at a local gym lifting weights. You know what I mean? And it's like, for someone like you, you realize, okay, well, you need to take tests and you need to do Deca, we'll say, or Anadrol or whatever. And it's like, because the drugs are not the most important thing, it's like, it's boring because it's pretty basic, actually. Mm-hmm. If you look at any book about drugs, not to say that they're 100% correct, or read any, noob threads that are experienced people telling people how to use drugs, I guess you'd say,
right,
they almost all say the same thing. And I'm not necessarily saying they're right, but it is the same basic knowledge. You start with these couple of drugs and you try those out. And then if you want to branch out from there, you do. Not that we're advocating drug use, but that's just the way it is. That's the knowledge that is out there. We'll put it that way. But I did figure out, I kind of got back in my head what I was going to talk about when we were talking about donating blood. And some people may not realize why they need to donate blood. And, you talk about hematocrit levels, which red blood cell levels and all these fancy terms and shit like that, which I probably couldn't tell you anything about. But I do know that if those things get too high, it leads to high blood pressure, which can not only, of course, high blood pressure can lead to heart attacks and strokes, but it can also lead to kidney damage, and it's kind of like that long chain of the snowball rolling down the hill. If you don't fix that one thing, it can lead to many, many, many problems down the road. And that's why, anything that you can do to keep your blood pressure in check, that's something I harp on guys all the time. Natural, not natural, especially being someone who has, genetically high blood pressure, I'm a little more aware of it than other people because, my dad has it, his dad had it. It's kind of one of those deals. So I've just learned things over the years. Same thing with skin cancer. Unfortunately, yeah. I know a lot about that I don't want to know. So.
Mm. And, in regards to the stuff like that, it's like that's so basic and guys should be seeking that type of thing out as far as how can I try to keep myself as healthy as possible because I'm about to do, X, Y, Z. But yet they'll seek out what's the secret amount of X, Y, Z. What does so-and-so do? And, no matter how many times I say it, they don't seem to be able to get it through their head that, you can take exactly what so-and-so does and you're not going to get the same results. You can take 50 people and give them all the exact same amount of gear. If there's a magic number and that's what turns you into Superman, you can take 50 people, give them all that magic number, if you will, of gear. And if you feed those 50 people differently, you're going to get 50 completely different results and completely different responses to that gear. And people just don't get it.
Yep. Well, and I've obviously talked in the past about some of the things I might have done in the past. And as someone who has trained natural and someone who's trained not natural and, used over-the-counter supplements while I was natural, used them when I wasn't. I mean, I've kind of done the whole combination of things. It's like the one thing that has made more difference than anything else, honest to God, is the amount of food I eat and the what types of food. I look at, there were times where I was not natural and I, ate like shit. My strength went up, but my health went to shit, literally. Mm-hmm. And there's times where I've been clean and ate right and I made great gains. I actually made more gains coming off of stuff because I knew I had to basically keep my diet more in check because I'm like, okay, well, if I don't have these drugs to help me or whatever, then I gotta be on point with my diet or else I'm going to lose all this and all this stuff. Well, I'd get on point with my diet, which I should have been on point the whole time, but how it works sometimes. You get lazy.
Right.
But I'd get right back onto my diet and I'd take my over-the-counter supplements, creatine, protein powders, things like that. And I'd actually make gains ahead of where I was when I got off stuff. You know what I mean? So do drugs help? Sure they do. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who tells you otherwise is a moron. They're Dr. Wadler or whatever his name is that works for the government trying to tell you that drugs are going to kill you. Mm-hmm. But, if you want to be realistic, yes, of course they work. But in the end, I've seen more people take drugs and get nothing out of them than I have seen people that take drugs and get something out of them. And the reason I say that is because they don't know what the hell they're doing outside of the drug. They don't even know what they're doing with the drugs half the time, but they don't eat. And you know, you see it in every gym. You see the guys that they buy drugs from their local dealer. They think, oh, well, these are what I need, so I'm going to use this, my money for protein or my money for steak, and I'm going to go buy the drugs with it. Well, then you ain't got no damn protein and you ain't making any gains. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, yes, they work, but it all, like you've said hundreds of times on this show, is it really boils down to what you're putting in your mouth, not what you're putting in your ass.
Oh, absolutely.
And that could be like a porn movie if you word that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I probably could, couldn't it?
So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Were you saying something?
Oh, no, the other funny thing is, you know, in talking about, you know, crap diets or whatever, and kind of the older school mentality, and some guys still do it, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's whatever you can stick with and follow that still allows you to train is cool, but everything tends to have side effects. And the old school way of just jamming calories in there and eating the, you know, down here in Texas, it'd be the Whataburgers and the pizzas and stuff like that, you know, 24/7 sandwiches. You know, as you have even seen with yourself, gluten, when it comes to guys, a lot of times guys will take every anti-estrogen under the sun and still have issues when it comes to estrogen, and they can't track it down because either the compounds they're taking, you know, don't convert to estrogen in the first place, or they're not taking enough of it that it really would stimulate any sort of a production under normal circumstances. But guys really fail to understand that their diet can be having an enormous contribution to the estrogen problems that they may be having. And, you know, especially when it, as it pertains to gluten and estrogen dominance, you know, where gluten can really get the body to kick in high gear and affect hormones that way. And of course, gluten's in, you know, so many of the products that are out there when it comes to bread-based or, you know, wheat-based.
It's in all the yummy stuff.
Yes, it is in all the yummy stuff. But, you know, you know, guys really fail to look at that when it comes to, well, what the hell's causing my estrogen issues or my gyno? And a lot of times the diet is the first thing, you know, hormones in the food and gluten is one that people really overlook when it comes to, you know, its contribution to estrogen and estrogen dominance, and, you know, to be specific.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not, but I remember when you had one of your bodybuilders had a contest. Mm-hmm. So that weekend you just said, hey, you know, make it a whole cheat weekend, kind of, you know, we'll get the metabolism going, all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I remember I ate whatever I wanted. I ate pizza. I ate a bag of Gordettos. You know, I ate all this shit and everything had gluten in it. You know what I mean? Everything did. I'm mm-hmm. sure it all, every meal probably had some kind of gluten in there, which I don't normally have a lot of. Well, I noticed that Monday, I remember texting you and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but my nipples are kind of sensitive today, you know? And I'm like, what the hell? I was like, you know, I did nothing else different. You know, it's not like I started taking drugs or something that would do that or anything, you know? And all of it, you know, and again, it simply was the change in the diet and that's it. And then within a couple days, my body felt back to normal, but literally for like 2-3 days after I had all that gluten, my nipples felt more sensitive. And, you know, I'm really sensitive to estrogen. From basically I have a small little gyno knot from like when I did a pro hormone when I was younger and actually got it, you know, when you just like I try to steer these kids away from, you take a pro hormone over the counter and you think, oh, I don't need to do anything. It's still, blah, 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 you know, and next thing you know, you have gyno because you didn't do any kind of post cycle for the natural over the counter product. Right. But, anyway, so it makes me very sensitive to any kind of estrogen in my body. And, mm-hmm. I was kind of worried there for a minute. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Well, a lot of guys don't understand that, you know, you can have estrogen symptoms and it has nothing to do with nipples. Guys get way too caught up on that, especially when it comes to gear. Everybody looks for itchy nipples or, you know, a lump or something when it comes to the gyno. And, you know, if you're having issues with estrogen dominance, you know, that might not be how it manifests itself in you. You know, I mean, it can be anxiety or, you know, fatigue, you know, migraines, kind of that fuzzy thinking, you know, where you kind of keep losing your train of thought and stuff. And of course, it can crush your libido. So, you know, a lot of guys are looking for just the nipple issues. and thinking that if they don't have that, that they're not having any sort of a challenge when it comes to estrogen being dominant in their system, when it actually may be there. It's just manifesting itself in other ways, kind of like why I tend to pull dairy out of most powerlifters or any of my strength guys' diets, not cheese necessarily, but actual milk, because it can manifest itself in other ways when it comes to like that arthritic type of achiness in the joints, which can actually just be an inflammatory response to the milk from the dairy, like Mike Johnston has experienced. You know, he cuts that out. Now he has no longer has any sort of arthritic symptoms. And, you know, Mike just squatted 1,000 pounds. So.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I talked to him this morning? Yeah. And we were talking about his lifts, and he told me he opened on his deadlift with like 700, I think, and then he went to 780, and he was going to go for 800, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, 780 was easy, everything went great, and then he's like, I got to 800, and I swear, right as I was about to pull it, the weight depressed into the ground, like it sunk into the ground more before I could pull it.
Right.
I thought that was kind of funny. But, yeah, he was trying to tell me how cool he was because he squatted 1,000 pounds. I'm like, whatever, dude, do it raw. So we were also kind of talking about some of the upcoming shows, which, as people might have figured out, we didn't cover the Orlando show tonight, which I think kind of works out better because I would imagine it would get kind of boring as a listener to have us explain the events this week and back then come back next, and then next week come back and explain each event again and who
recap
what. So yeah. we're kind of recapping the exact same thing. So it probably works out better this way. You know, I know we've had several people tell us they like the Ask Nate stuff, and then we kind of just rambled on after that about some interesting topics. So probably worked out well for tonight's show. And next week, I can't guarantee we will have the winner of the show because depending on who it is, we may not be able to get a hold of them that quick. Because we record Monday or Tuesday nights, so sometimes it's hard to get a hold of these winners unless I'm already friends with them. So hopefully it's somebody that we're buddies with and it makes it real easy and we'll have them come on and help recap the show. If right. not, I will do my best to get as much information as I can and we'll kind of recap it ourselves and talk about who might be joining me at the Shreveport show coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I think this was a good show. I really enjoyed the our little rants after the Ask Nate. I think a lot of people will like that stuff. So we'll leave it at that. And until next week, this is Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton on RX Power Hour, hosted by RxMuscle.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to the RX Power Hour, exclusively on RxMuscle.com. For more great shows, visit RxMuscle.com.